You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
RX Incontra.
I'm very honored today to talk to a living legend, Sandog of the almighty Cypress Hill. And we're here to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Cypress Hill, the self-named album. Do you feel these 30 years?
Do I feel them?
You feel them?
Well, not in music years, you know, of course in human years, yeah. But now that I look back on it, I kind of went by kind of quick before we looked up. The band was turning 20 years old and then 25 years old. And here we are at 30 years old. So it kind of happened rather quickly with a lot of ups and downs and what you might expect. If I had to do it all over again and start all over again, I would.
Would you change anything? Is there something that you would have changed? Because I clearly remember the day I bought the album. I listened to it in the record store first. It was August 1991, right?
Yes.
I was slapped by the album. It was so original, so new. Never heard anything like it. And the violence of the lyrics. And I said, wow, can you really say those things on a record? I mean, it starts with pigs and then it's like an evolution of violence. So could you describe for us the context of how you actually sat down, wrote it, recorded? What was the atmosphere at that time?
Well, the atmosphere around that first album, when we first got down to recording, was one that, you know, we had a clean board that we could do anything with. So DJ Muggs, always being like a visionary, he didn't hold us back from saying anything. Say whatever you guys want, you know, do what you want to do. And at that time, you know, we still belonged to the streets, you know. Myself and Be Real, and you know, the things that we saw and things that we heard about, you know, were not pretty things, you know. So we put the record out and we stuck to our guns and we decided we're gonna do songs like, you know, Pigs and How Could Just Kill a Man and Hand on the Pump and stuff like that. And people would ask us, you know, are you not concerned? Or when people would ask us, you know, about the violence factor in Cypress Hill, you know, my response was always, you know, life is violent. You know, everywhere on the planet that you go, there's violence, there's death, there's murder. So us talking about it is not, you know, we're not hiding from it. You know what I mean? We're just trying to tell the truth. And if the truth about violence upsets you, then I guess you live in a non-reality. You know, because in reality, you know, terrible things happen all the time and we're just addressing some of the terrible things that happen. So it wasn't us that invented the violence. We're more like reporters of it, you know, and we talk about it in our music and people were like, oh my God, I can't believe that they just said that or did that or whatever. But the truth of it is, you know, that life is violence and if you choose to ignore it, then you might become a victim of it. So it's better that you know about it.
totally agree. And I think it also, maybe, I think it, saying it plainly and directly as reporters, I think for many youngsters, I think it actually helps to sublimation. I think you actually put it on the record so you wouldn't have to do it. And a lot of young people that used to listen to it and listen to it today, they can feel that the violence is to stay on the record, not on the streets. Do you think it can actually help somehow to hear it and not to do it?
You know, you have to listen to stuff with an open mind and an open brain. You know, if you listen to something that makes you want to lash out and be violent, you know, and I know that there's music that kind of like, you know, serves that purpose. But with us, it wasn't that. We wanted our listeners to be, you know, smarter than your average listeners. We wanted people to understand the riddle, you know, listen to the song however many times you had to listen to it, and then at the end, get the correct message out of it. You know, we didn't necessarily want to encourage violence or that or anything like that, but we felt that in the time that we lived in and the things that we saw, that we had to say something about it. It wasn't not like, you know, you could be involved in the street life and see all these things happen and never, you know, say anything about it in your music. We had to include that in there. And for those people that understood it and got it the first time around, you know, we congratulate them and everything. But, you know, there's other people that thought we meant like go out and commit some, you know, harm or whatever. And we're not trying to be that group. We're trying to enlighten the mind. We're not trying to enlighten your will to go fight. You know what I mean? We're trying to get a more conscious-minded hip hop. You know, one that can hit people in the brain and in their souls and whatnot, and then have them, you know, reflect on that of what they just heard.
Actually, we're so important to put different countercultures together. The Latino mm-hmm. community, the skate community, the punk community, the hip hop community. Was this something that you actually planned, or it just came naturally?
That kind of came naturally. We released our album, our first album, and we kind of thought that it would be only for like underground hip hop heads. And we thought, you know, girls, you know, women would not like it because it was too underground. And we didn't even think about, you know, the punk rockers and the metalheads or any of those people. We just thought this was a hip hop album and, you know, it's for hip hop people. But, you know, a few months into it, we started seeing Guns N' Roses t-shirts in the audience and AC/DC shirts and Black Sabbath shirts. And I'm like, oh, wow, that guy has a Sex Pistols shirt on. I'm freaking out, you know. And it's just something that happened to be natural. In a sense that I think the whole cannabis issue brought all these people together at once, because if you're a punker or a skater or a gangbanger or, you know, or whatever, chances are that you probably do smoke marijuana, you know? And I think that aspect of the band brought all those cultures together for us when we would go on tour and we see all these many different faces in the audience. And at first, you know, when we first started the tour, it was with like Naughty by Nature and Third Base, groups like that, that they predominantly had, you know, at that time, I would say mostly an African-American audience, you know. True. So when we started to do, and I think it all started in 92 when we performed at Lollapalooza on the second stage. And right before we went on, there was just every race, every culture was in the audience. And I was like, to me, I was like, okay, this is where I want to stay at right here. I want to service everybody all at once. I don't want to have to go here and there and there and there. If we could do festivals where everybody comes to all at once, then I was more interested in that.
Yeah, that was the kind of world that we wanted, as a matter of fact. It was just perfect. And what do you think of Cali now that weed is legal? I mean, it was not legal when you started. It was tough. I mean, you were fought against about this communication. What do you think of Cali now?
Well, you know, California now, on the cannabis front, I think is a very important part of it. I didn't expect it to become such the giant of an industry that we have now. And it's, you know, it costs a lot of money now to become, you know, a medical marijuana dispensary owner or have to have a grow. There's several licenses that are very expensive that you have to get for yourself. Aside from that, I like the whole everything that we fought for as far as legalization and the rights for medical patients to be able to choose what kind of medicine they want, if they want, you know, traditional meds or they want to do cannabis. I think that's very important. With that being said, and California being at the front of all that, you know, the struggle continues. There's still more work to do just because we have several states that are legal and several more that are medicinal. The war continues, you know, the war keeps on. So we have to keep in mind that we're not as comfortable as we want to be. Yes, we've made a lot of great gains and strides, but we're not there yet. We still have to continue the fight. So as long as everyone knows that, you know, we can't get comfortable. We have to continue to get our point across.
Absolutely. Very interesting. Yeah, agree. There's a long path to go. I wanted to go back a little bit on those days. You said we wanted to make an underground hip hop album with Cypress Hill. And plus you said, well, Muggs called us and he wanted us to say whatever we wanted on those beats. So this means it all started with the music. So you already had the music. Is that right?
No. The music was being made as we went along.
Okay.
So we would show up at Muggs's house and he had a beat up that day and we worked to that beat, you know, and then he'd tell us, we'll come back on Wednesday or whatever and he'll have more beats ready. So we were going along and writing songs as we made the album. We didn't have any idea what Muggs was going to give us next. We just knew that, you know, we liked what the sound of the things that were coming out.
So you were basically living into Mark's house so he could provide you with the music and you kept on writing?
Yes. That was like about, I don't know, maybe like 2 years, maybe a little bit longer of us just living there in his apartment and just waking up every morning, having breakfast and going right into the studio. You know, okay, who's got whatever's next? You know, as soon as he was done with the beat and he knew who he wanted, okay, Sen, come in here, your turn, let's go. So I think that's how that album, you know, came out so tight, is because we were around each other every day, you know, and then after the album came out and we toured and we had a little bit of success and, you know, guys were able to get their own, you know, apartments and houses and whatnot. And you know, we kind of like everybody went and did their own thing. We were no longer together all the time. Right. And I think that album became legendary because it was 3 years of us being together all the time, every day, all day, every day, you know, talking about hip hop and hip hop concepts and what we wanted to do and what we thought about this and that. And I think that's why that record, if you put it on today and listen to it, it still sounds brand new, because it was just 365 days a year of, you know, Cypress Hill. We got to make this album happen.
When did you realize that you had that unique Cypress Hill trademark?
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. Well, we finished the album, and then there was a little bit of downtime for videos and press and whatnot to get ready for the road. And in that meantime, we got some feedback from our label, and we had heard that the EPMD guys had got the record, and they were listening to it, and they were so entranced by the record that they had like this car accident or something as they were driving. They forgot, they stopped paying attention, and I heard the PMD drove off the road. It was just like they told us like it was that good. We were like, oh my god, what is this? You know, like they were high off the music.
Totally.
And then you know we were good friends with Digital Underground at the time. They had heard the album, and they told us, you know, hey, man, this record is really good. You guys are going to, you know, do some good things and whatnot. So we were constantly getting feedback from people. I remember the Ghetto Boys heard it, and we weren't really selling any records. And they told us, man, that the audience is really sleeping on you guys. This album is phenomenal. So we knew that we already had made a good record. We just had to wait our turn, I guess. You know, and at that time, we released our first single was a song called Funky Feel One, which was, it's a good song. It's, you know, it's a great song.
Definitely.
But it didn't have that cultural awareness that How I Could Just Kill a Man had.
Yeah.
And Kill a Man was the B-side on that album. And eventually in New York City, DJ started to turn over the record and see what was on the B-side. And then I think it went to number one in New York in a matter of like 3 or 4 weeks. So they took us off the tour with Naughty by Nature and brought us to New York. And that's where we filmed the How I Could Just Kill a Man and Hand on the Pump videos in Brooklyn.
So who picked the wrong single? Who picked Funky Feel instead of?
Well, I would have to say the label, because, you know, the label, I think they were kind of scared of our more dangerous stuff. And they were like, you know, Pigs might have been too harsh, or Hand on the Pump, or Hole in the Head, or, you know, think songs like that might have been a little bit too strong at first, they thought. This is my imagination thinking. And I think that they were like, Funky Feel One was a safe song, and it showed, you know, our rhyming skills. It showed Muggs' potential as a producer. It showed all the things that it takes to, you know, to be a good hip hop band. And when Kill a Man came out, the label was like, you know, this is that band. This is that dangerous band. You know, in their own way, we need to go with what they record, their harshest stuff. We did a video for Pigs. We did a video for Latin Lingo. All of the street songs, I think, got a video, you know, became singles. So Latin Lingo and Pigs and Hand on the Pump and Kill a Man. And, you know, we had, I think off that first album, we had like five singles off of one album, which is unheard of, you know, in any kind of music genre.
What do you think of the situation right now? What if Cypress Hill was released today? I know it's just absurd, but do you think with social media, with music sharing one to one, do you think it would have been faster? Like you said, we had to wait some time before it actually started, the whole thing started. Do you think it would be better if it came out today, or is just a game of what if?
Well, I mean, if we were talking about what if, then I think if what if with, you know, we got to remember that when we came out in 91, there was no social media, no Instagram, Facebook, no Twitter, no TikTok. There was nothing, you know. We didn't even have cell phones, really. You know, we have pagers, you know, and that's how we word of mouth got around. And I think with today's, you know, with today's advancements as far as the social marketing and all that stuff goes, I think it would go a lot easier and a lot quicker for us if we had that back in the 90s, you know, because nowadays, you know, there's YouTube, and kids are becoming stars on YouTube before they ever get signed by a company. So that's, you know, that lets you show you, that goes to show you how strong you know, the social media and how much of a market and how much of a marketing tool it is for today's music. And if Cypress Hill were to come out today with today's advances, I think we would dominate all over the world immediately, you know, instead of, you know, when we first came out, our first album first came out, we had to go tour like, it felt like 6 or 7 months of just grinding and working hard and not really getting anywhere. We had this single out and the single wasn't doing well. It got respect, but it wasn't doing anything. And I think the label was even thinking about dropping us at some point.
Really?
And then, you know, the musical gods, you know, blessed us and they turned the record over in New York City and it went to number one. And then all of a sudden, oh, we have to work this record. We have to work this record. And, you know, then the label really got involved and whatnot. And good things started to happen. But prior to that, you know, it was hard work.
When I got my hands on the album, it was really a treasure because, a few copies came around and I had a friend in the U.S. who were talking about you. And he said, you got to listen to it, but it was not easy to find it in Genoa. Or Milan. Do you remember touring in Italy? I saw you in Milan.
Yeah, what year?
Could have been, there was the Ice Cube beef going on. Heavy. So it was probably 96, 97?
Yeah, I remember I took 2 years off. I went on hiatus. And I think it was those years, 96 and 97.
Correct.
By 98,
you were not
there.
You're not on the stage. You're right. And are you planning to bring the record abroad and on a world tour sooner or later again?
Yes, we're discussing plans for Europe for next year in May. You know, depending on how things play out, you know, in the world. We're planning for it. Hopefully it happens. We haven't been to Europe since, you know, the whole thing started. So, you know, I kind of miss my summers in Europe and whatnot. So, we're talking about it and hopefully, you know, we get to go.
I really want to thank you for this and for your time. I know we have to go because you have another interview now. So I really want to thank you for your time. It was really appreciated. It was an honor.
Gracias a ustedes. Muchas gracias también a ustedes.
We're waiting for you over here. Can't wait to see you live again.
Right on. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Ciao.
Ciao.
TRX in contra.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.